This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Lock and load. This is Steve Dace. The Steve Dace Show.
And greetings. Happy Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in here today, live and on demand here on Blaze TV Radio and Podcast. My name is Steve Dace. His name is Todd Erzin. His name is Aaron McIntyre. You have your own name, which one day we may see or learn. If you email the show, steve@stevedace.com. That's D-E-A-C-E. You can like us on Facebook for now. MeWe, Parler, and Gab. You look for Steve Dace there or at Steve Dace Show on Getter or Twitter for now. And then you can also get clips of the show over at rumble.com/Steve Dace Show. That is rumble.com/Steve Dace Show. I should mention, if I'm going to complain on the air when they're not responsive for 4.5 weeks, I finally posted something about this on Twitter yesterday about getting no response from Truth Social. Sure enough, I got a response back in a couple of hours. So we are finally getting somewhere. I mean, I got to make sure, man, I get my spot on the teat, bro, because the purge is on like Donkey Kong over at Twitter right now, right? So I hope, I haven't even asked the two of you, have you guys all got your spots over there at Truth Social figured out?
I have, yep. Yeah.
Got yours?
No.
Might want to get on that puppy. All right, because
sounds like I have 4 weeks though.
Just wait 2 weeks, dude. If that was the slogan for Truth Social, just wait 2 weeks. Oh my, oh my. Let's just stop right now.
Is it going to be ready in time for Easter?
Stop right. Stop it. All right, stop it. All right. So anyway, back to regular order here on the program. That was my fault. I took that detour. I should have known better.
You should have.
I should have. And then you guys took us right into a ditch. So let's stop. All right. So coming up on today's show, the weekly prophet of woe and lamentation will join us, Daniel Horowitz. We will play buy, sell, or hold. There are some follow-up questions to a recent controversy that I think we would be remiss as a program if we did not attempt to address them. So we will do so here at the bottom of the hour. Also, keep in mind that they're still lying about COVID. Now they're admitting that they already were exaggerating the child deaths, which already were statistically small. Now they're saying they've overcounted by tens of thousands of more deaths. Have you seen, we haven't even gotten to this yet. I've not looked in, if it's in the rundown yet, Aaron. So forgive me. But The Lancet, you know, the official scientific journal of the spirit of the age, is now, came out with a study a few days ago on what the estimated infection fatality rates were by state in the U.S. Pre-jab. And the worst state in the country was Vermont. That was the one state that I got a bunch of lefty blue check marks kept tweeting at me, was the state that proved that lockdowns work. It had the worst infection fatality rate of any state in the country pre-jab, according to The Lancet. Hey, man, this is, I'm just pulling a Candace Owens. This is your data. Right when they came back at her, the New York Times fact checkers, where are you getting your information on this? And she sent them their own links. That's just so good. She sent them their own links. Oh, that is so well played. This is their data. It's their data that showed the most locked down, honorific state in the union, pre-jab, was the state that ended up with the highest infection fatality rate. Here's why all this matters again. You just can't trust these people. You can't trust the system as much as you can. Take your health into your own hands. You never know what new variant they're going to cook up. Also, things like the flu and other things going around. The Z-Stack formula is an effective preemptive supplement for any of those kinds of ailments. If you want to try it right now from our friend, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, he helped, or Trump credited him really, with a successful early treatment protocol for hydroxychloroquine. It is kosher, GMP certified, all of it made right here in the US of A. Zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, D, all put into now one compound. So you don't have to take four or five of these a day. And you get a discount on your first order right now when you go to Z as in zebra, zstacklife.com/dace. Use the promo code DACE. zstacklife.com/dace. Use the promo code DACE to get a discount on your first order. And with that, we must begin, as always, with Aaron's rundown of what happened while we were away.
What happened while we were away, brought to you by day two of the confirmation hearings for SCOTUS nominee Ketanji Jackson, who was asked about a light sentence she gave to a heroin trafficker.
I asked a simple question. Did you contact the victims in his case or not?
Senator, Mr. Young was not released. His sentence was reduced, and I did not contact the victims in his case because were no victims. He committed a crime, a drug crime. There were no identifiable victims in his case.
Drug crime is not a victimless crime. 100,000 Americans were killed by overdoses.
Understood.
Ted Cruz pressed her once more on her light sentencing pattern for child pornographers.
Every single case, 100% of them, when prosecutors came before you with child pornography cases, you sentenced the defenders to substantially below, not just the guidelines, which are way higher, but what the prosecutor asked for on average of these cases, 47.2% less.
Senator Marsha Blackburn asked this really hardball question.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context. So I'm not a biologist.
We found a biologist for you, Miss Jackson.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
Thanks for the tip.
Moving on, an All I Do Is Win update. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis issued a proclamation yesterday that Emma Wyant, a Florida native and runner-up to a dude in the women's 500-yard freestyle event at the NCAA Championships last weekend, is indeed the rightful champion of said event. Speaking of Florida, a walkout was staged at Disney World to protest the state's anti-groomer bill.
Well, we did see one protester earlier at the Disney entrance at Hotel Plaza Boulevard Tuesday, lone cast member Nicholas Maldonado protested Disney's response to what critics call Florida's Don't Say Gay bill.
And now this. Here's Dr. Leanna Wen of CNN, High Priestess of the Branch Covidian Cult, on September 10th of last year.
I think we really need to make it clear that there are privileges associated with being an American, that if you wish to have these privileges, you need to get vaccinated. Travel and having the right to travel interstate, it's not a constitutional right, as far as I know, to board a plane. And so saying that if you want to stay unvaccinated, that's your choice. But if you want to travel, you better go get that vaccine.
Here's what Leanna Wen tweeted last night. For those who don't agree that the vaccinated can return to a pre-pandemic normal, I ask, what should we do? Perpetual masking? Forever not dining out? Avoiding large weddings and indoor gatherings, etc.? Virtually everything has risk, and zero COVID is not a viable strategy. New York Times op-ed, we will forget much of the pandemic. That's a good thing. Hillary Clinton and Jen Psaki are the latest triple-jabbed fools to catch COVID. For Psaki, it's her second time in about the last 5 months. And finally, police in New York City are looking for this neo-Nazi white supremacist who was caught on security cameras drawing a swastika on a Manhattan building. For those of you listening, the guy we're looking at, well, think Clayton Bigsby. And that's what happened while we were away.
And you gave me a Clayton Bigsby reference at the end? My all-time favorite Dave Chappelle skit in what might be the funniest 7 minutes in the history of American television? God bless us, everyone. That was a phenomenal montage. made me laugh several times, including the one Disney employee who walked out. I just laughed out loud watching that here in the studio. Good stuff. Aaron's Montage brought to you by our friends over at Bonner Private Wines. These are imported wines, phenomenal wines, Todd's favorite product that we promote here on the show. Okay. And they don't cost an arm or a leg either. They are created, made, fermented, grown deep in the Andes Mountains up at about 9,000 feet of elevation. Families that have been at this for a couple of centuries now. And you can get these rare wines at half off the retail price. And you'll get half off the shipping as well. Phenomenal red wines. We all like them. Todd loves them. All right. Supplies are limited, though. You don't need a promo code to take advantage of this double offer. Half off the wines, half off the shipping when you go to BonnerPrivateWines.com/Steve. That's all you got to do. Bonner Private Wines, wines plural, BonnerPrivateWines.com/Steve. Today for the overtime. We are right now in real time on my Twitter account, at Steve Dace Show. We are conducting a snap poll. And for the overtime today, we will be discussing and analyzing the results. The poll question today is, who do you trust more, Sean Hannity or Joe Rogan? We'll have the results. You can vote in this poll if you are, and if you have access to Twitter, you can go to my Twitter account, at Steve Dace Show, to vote on this if you would like. We will be analyzing these results. This vote is going on right now. At Steve Dace Show on Twitter. That is today's overtime. What our Twitter following has to say about that question. Who do you trust more, Sean Hannity or Joe Rogan? We'll get into that today, later today, when we record the overtime for you after the program at blazetv.com/Dace. That's where you'll be able to go to download it later after we upload it later. Blazetv.com/Dace is also where you can go to become a subscriber to Blaze TV today so you don't miss that or any of the other exclusive content we do each and every day right here at Blaze TV. All right, let us now then, therefore, let us get to the montage. And I had somebody who's a friend of mine that doesn't like Ted Cruz, by the way. Just doesn't care for him personally. Agrees with him politically, just doesn't care for him personally. Doesn't think he's all that gift of a politician. I worked in the Trump White House. He texted me yesterday during the Judge Jackson. That wasn't a testimony. That was a deconstruction. I mean, I've seen Ted do this before, so I wasn't surprised. But he texted me yesterday and said, I know you probably don't expect to hear this from me, but he's just killing this. I mean, this is phenomenal exposure and content that he is pulling out of this from a testimony standpoint. Now Ted went to law school with Judge Jackson, and what I find funny is we just played a clip yesterday on Fake News or Not with somebody who for a long time was one of the most respected legal minds on the right, Andrew McCarthy at National Review, right? Mm-hmm. Criticizing Josh Hawley for, hey, this is, you know, basically demagoguery. He all but called Josh Hawley, Andrew McCarthy did, a demagogue for raising the issue of Judge Jackson being soft on pedos, right?
Mm-hmm.
We played that clip. It's on yesterday's show, yes. Correct? And then lo and behold, even people that don't like Ted or think he is a particularly gifted politician will admit there's nobody on our side that when it comes to playing the role of prosecutor is better. Nobody is. And what is it, though, that of all the things he could have hammered Judge Jackson for yesterday, of all the things he could have hammered her for, and guys, I'm just telling you, Ted has his faults, but the guy really won't make anything up. At times, his desire to absolutely be able to prove what he is saying has some form of accuracy gets to the points of tediousness. Like, we will comment on things after that cycle's already gone because of his desire to not be seen as, well, what Andrew McCarthy was accusing Josh Hawley of being, mm-hmm. a demagogue, right? So I find it fascinating because I also know Ted well enough to know the only person on the only elected or former elected official on the right who watches more and pays more attention to what goes on in the media than Donald Trump is Cruz, or maybe Trump more than Cruz. It's a close race, right? So I promise you that Ted is fully aware that Andrew McCarthy, someone he's known for many years, was on Fox News as their chief legal analyst, claiming that going after this issue was by Hawley was demagoguery. I promise you Ted was aware of that. Promise you that's true. So for him to then say, all right, Josh, I'll take it from here. Now the professional litigators will get involved. For him to choose that issue to go after her, when there are certainly other issues he could have chosen, for him to choose that one tells you that despite what a lot of the fake right tried to tell us the last couple of days, there's a lot of there. A lot of there. Haven't we at times been frustrated over the last couple of years when it comes to COVID, Ted not wanting to get ahead of the curve or be seen as taking any chances, right? We've expressed that to each other publicly and privately. I'll express that privately to Ted myself. I'm just telling you, he's not a guy. I worked for him for 6 months on an intimate level. I have known him for several years. He will not go off half-cocked on something if he doesn't really think he can go with it all the way, to the point of frustration. And that's often why he comes across to people as being like programmed and too on, right? Because he doesn't do anything spontaneous, guys. He doesn't. That's why we all got a big kick out of the Trump campaign in 2016, pretending he was some kind of ladies' man. I was like, Ted, man, can you show more of that charisma on the debate stage, brother? All right? I'd like to see more of that magnetism out on the campaign trail. Okay? So, Andrew McCarthy should frankly be embarrassed. I'll just say it. He should just be embarrassed. I know that you were always more of an NRO guy than me, even though you let go of that shibboleth a couple of years ago. Mm. But is that going too far?
About me?
No, about McCarthy?
Oh, no, he should. And this is, I think, this is David French in his ear and trying to navigate that world.
And you know what? And let's be honest about what it's all about. Let's not fulfill the Democrat talking points by being too tough on a black person on camera. But let's be honest. We all know what it's about.
That's my point.
That's what it's about. And so I'm just telling you, I know Ted Cruz well enough to know the fact that he chose that subject matter and dude came with the receipts. Now, that is the Ted Cruz I know. Like, hey, I need you guys to like go through the archives on Grabian of everything I've ever said on this issue to make sure I don't contradict myself. All right. The dude came with charts, visual graphs, and aids. Okay. He did his homework on this. And yet, on Fox and other places, they were trying to preemptively say, no, that's not an issue. Get the bleep out of here, all y'all. And Andrew McCarthy, frankly, ought to be ashamed of himself for running preemptive cover for this woman based on what Ted unveiled yesterday. He ought to be ashamed. And none of us should be shocked that the party of groomers is nominating for the U.S. Supreme Court somebody soft on pedos. Anybody shocked? Raise your hand if you're just stunned at this admission. Stunned. The only thing you ought to be stunned by is how quickly some people like Mr. McCarthy went out there to shoot their wad and blow their credibility deflecting for this woman. I've followed McCarthy's work long enough to know he also doesn't tend to do things half-cocked. He clearly did here. He clearly needed to get the NRO spin of don't look like a racist. He clearly did not do his homework. You may not always agree with Andrew McCarthy. You will not catch him doing sloppy scholarship. Fair?
Yeah.
This is sloppy. Which just goes to show this is just all bowing to the spirit of the age. Dude didn't do his homework. Because Senator Cruz brought the damn receipts yesterday and dropped the hammer. Let me tell you, though, what else we should not be shocked about. Hey, I get it, man. I couldn't resist chiming in myself. If you can't define a woman, how do you know you are one? Earlier in her Supreme Court confirmation testimony, she affirmed a woman's right to choose. If you can't define a woman, how do we even know what choices they have a right to? Right? Those things, and we should be clubbing those things. I'm not saying we should not be. We should be hammering those things and relentlessly. But for the last, well, basically 50 years, but my entire career, the right in America said that when the Supreme Court pretended to not know what a baby was, it was the law of the land, right? And for those of us who said we shouldn't treat it as such, we were radicals who had to be driven out of this movement, right? Yeah. When the court pretended to not know what a constitution was, well, that's the new law of the land and we have to follow it. Vote Republican for better judges, right?
Right.
Right. Then when the court decided to not know what a marriage is, well, I mean, that's the new law of the land and we can't do anything about that. In fact, we should just move on from that divisive issue and prove that we're even more gay. We're even more pro-gay marriage than the Democrats are, right? That was a talking point. Right. Yeah, right. This is on brand. She made no great revelation yesterday. Hell, of the three judges Trump appointed, Gorsuch is the best and it's not even close. Even he voted to codify the gender garbage into law a couple of years ago, remember? He's probably the second best judge we have in the court right now next to Thomas. He voted to codify the gender garbage into law. Let us not pretend. Let's stop pretending. Let us not pretend that pretending to not know fundamental facts and things and concepts of Americana, as Judge Jackson did yesterday, with not knowing how to define a woman, let us not pretend as if this is a new thing for the United States Supreme Court. If anything, 160 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court pretended to not know that Dred Scott, a black man, was a person. 160 years later, we have come full circle. We will put a black person on the Supreme Court who will pretend to not know what a woman is. Because she previously pretended to not know what a border is, what a law is, what a constitution is, what a baby is, what a marriage is. Let us stop pretending. Pretend versus pretend just equals more pretend. Let's be real here. That's practically the most qualifying answer that she gave. Looking at what the last 50-year history of the U.S. Supreme Court is, a pretend to not know fundamental facts. I pretend to not know for 6,000 years. No one knew what a marriage was anywhere in all of all of human history until five justices of the U.S. Supreme Court in Windsor and then Obergefell came along to clarify it for us. We didn't know what a baby was until seven justices and Roe v. Wade came along to tell us. We couldn't know what a border was until a majority of Supreme Court justices came along in Plyler versus Doe to tell us. Actually, that was a federal court. We have been allowing these justices to pretend to not know things that we will then not pretend, but really comply with my whole life.
Yep.
And all of yours, and certainly all of Aaron's. Let us not pretend that this is a new thing. If anything, with that answer, Judge Jackson showed that she's absolutely going to fit in with the United States Supreme Court. Gentlemen, your thoughts.
To your point right there, how can we not know fundamental facts from a Romans 1 perspective on any level, though spiritual, biology, and any way, shape, or form? And then point to trust the experts mm-hmm. on any level.
Mm-hmm.
How? Because what are you an expert in? Where were the building blocks? What did you build towards that expertise from if you can't even do 1 + 1 = 2? It's an absurd notion, which why yesterday was such a tragedy. It's a tragedy for law. It's a tragedy for women. It's a tragedy for Black America to have to look at that as the sum total of breaking through ceilings, what have you. I swear to God, Christine Blasey Ford was a more credible witness in the Kavanaugh hearing than this judge was. Tell me I'm wrong.
You know, the phrase, we're not a nation of laws and we never have been. We're a nation of political will and we always will be. We're not a nation of of words or meanings behind words, and we never were. We really never were. We're just a nation. And really, this is true of every single nation or state in history. It's always reality versus the upside down. Really is. At some point along the way, enough of our countrymen really couldn't, because even though they might have said it with their mouths, they really didn't believe, or at least not have the fortitude enough to defend it. What actually is a woman? So yeah, she's qualified for the court because the court has this pattern, but she's qualified because she's ultimately a reflection of a lot of us who may say, yeah, a woman is a woman, is a man is a man. But when it comes down to brass tacks, we're like all of the, what's a dad? What's a dad, NCAA women's swimmers? What is that? Because at the end of the day, there's not enough fortitude and there's not enough will to actually defend what words mean. So yeah, it's not a shock from the standpoint that the Supreme Court hasn't known what a human being is for the last 50-100 years or so, but it's also not a shock because a lot of us haven't known that either, or at least have acted like we haven't known that. Hence the reason why we're looking, what, 40, almost 50 years later, finally repealing the most heinous law, really just a blog post that this nation has ever known in Roe v. Wade. Case in point, how can we be surprised that a Supreme Court nominee doesn't know what a woman is when we haven't been successfully defining what a life is to begin with? It's really a shame on us, really corporately as a country, that we're in this position, but it should not be surprising at all.
What's worse, Judge Jackson saying she doesn't know what the definition is, which is a lie, of course, or the amount of people we have voted for who will verbally tell you they know what the definition is and then do nothing of any substance whatsoever in order to confirm and defend that definition? What is worse?
What's worse, the fool or the fool who follows him, as Obi-Wan Kenobi once queried?
Exactly. I think that for too long, we've been a movement, or for too long, we've been talking points in search of a movement. What we need to be is a movement in search of talking points. Do you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
That this used to be referred to as we just want to own the libs. All right. We're talking points in search of a movement.
We're no cowboy.
Yeah. Let's all have our hashtags and laugh and share at the water cooler at work that the Democrat Supreme Court nominee doesn't know what a woman is. And then let's just go ahead and make sure that we, listen, if you don't vote for the Indiana governor who doesn't know what a woman is either, who's a Republican, then you just hate America and want the Democrats to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you don't vote for the Utah governor who doesn't know what a woman is, then you just, hate America and want the Democrats to win, right?
Right.
See, who's the fake news here? That's why I'm telling you, that's the most sincere thing she said yesterday. That's the most qualifying thing she said, if we're being brutally honest. This is actually why I taped an episode with Ali Stuckey, our colleague, for her show before we went on the air today. And of course, we got into the Dave Rubin controversy, which we're going to talk more about here in a few minutes, because there's some good follow-up questions on that I think we should address. But I said to her, that controversy and the discussion that happened internally within our company and then externally about our company is the most honest conversation that has taken place either to or from the American right in the 15 years I've worked in this business full time, and maybe longer. In fact, what would be the second most honest conversation, guys, off the top of your head?
I got nothing.
If we're saying that that's true, real honesty, then there's not. We haven't had any real conversations that really. And often when you try to have real conversations, well, that's my pet shibboleth. So we're going to try to have more of that real conversation here in a moment. All right, back here on the Steve Dace Show on Blaze TV radio and podcast. You know, folks, bigger trouble could be coming. Make sure you're prepared with our friends over at My Patriot Supply. Right now, they're offering their emergency food kit, now good for, what is it, up to, what now, 3 months, to make sure that you are ready to go in case, hey, that could never happen here. Happens here once more. Food that stays fresh for up to 25 years with the proper storage. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, even drinks and snacks are included, so you get the full 2,000 calories plus a day that you need. For you and everyone in your household right now, if you want that peace of mind to know that you are taken care of, you can save $150 and get free shipping if you get this at preparewithdace.com. That's my special website to get the discount. Preparewithdace.com. Don't get left behind at preparewithdace, D-E-A-C-E, preparewithdace.com. So we've gotten a lot of feedback to what we discussed on Monday as it relates to the controversy surrounding our colleague Dave Rubin, and probably more so the tweet that was sent from the official company Twitter account congratulating him and his husband, quote unquote, with a surrogacy president or pregnancy of not twins, but two different women, correct?
I believe so,
yeah. If I remember right. Okay. And that touched off a firestorm of, as it should have, what do we believe? What should we believe? What should we affirm? What do we affirm or not? On Monday, over the weekend, when much of this controversy was brewing, we were off, obviously, Thursday, Friday, and then over the weekend. But we shared, on all my socials, I shared Delano Squires' piece, which is phenomenal, kind of pushing back on this. The video from our colleague, Ali Stuckey, did a phenomenal job pushing back on this. And so when I came on Monday, I had my own thoughts. And then when we got a question about it for the Ask Me Anything, I kind of pushed back on a more of a meta level. Are we sure we really want to have honest conversations about what we endorse and what we don't and who our standard bearers are? Right. And several of you emailed me and thought that that wasn't a sufficient answer. And you wrote me books, basically, in response, which, God bless you, I love you, I just don't have the time to read. The volume of email we get now as a show, I used to, you know, when we were on 9 o'clock to midnight on 75 radio stations across the country, which is not insignificant, but nothing compared to the audience we have now, I did have the time to read your books and respond with maybe a chapter and verse of my own. I just don't have that time any longer. So I asked several of you that I thought, I could tell at the beginning of your notes, these are very thoughtful pushbacks. I asked several of you, hey, could you boil this down to a couple of questions, a pithy statement that you want us to respond to, because we would like to address your clarifications. And I want to get to Katie, who I thought did the best job of this. Okay. Because I think from a show integrity standpoint, there are some pushbacks that we should respond to. Okay. So here's the first one that she says. Isn't the reason why some people have ridiculed Mayor Pete, but not David Rubin, is because it's easier to criticize somebody you don't like and harder to criticize somebody you do. That's true in human nature in general. That's why I've tried not to have a lot of friends. It's because I don't like criticizing people I like because I'm human and not Vulcan. And so I couldn't find a way around that other than just to don't have a lot of friends, which frankly comes naturally for me, unfortunately. But in the case, I can't speak for everybody else, but we didn't ridicule Dave Rubin before this announcement either. And we didn't change our definition of marriage for Dave Rubin before this announcement either, did we?
No.
So I can only speak for me and my show. here's why I didn't ridicule Dave Rubin before this announcement or after. Because I don't agree with Dave Rubin about several very important things. He's not a human fraud. What we ridicule on this show are frauds. The parody that you and I put together at Christmas over the jab was all about exposing fraud. The reason that we made cracks about... I didn't even intend to do that. The reason why we made cracks about Pete Buttigieg's identity is because it's the only thing about him that is remotely remarkable. If how many times did we try? We had the substantive conversation. If he did not identify as homosexual, would he be as the mayor of a white male mayor of a podunk town like South Bend, Indiana, be considered a serious Democratic presidential candidate? And the answer was, of course, what?
No, of course.
The whole basis for his candidacy is that he likes to have sex with men. There was literally no other qualification. What's his qualifications as Secretary of Transportation? South Bend, Indiana is about 40 miles in the middle of nowhere outside of Chicago and Gary, Indiana. You can't get the direct route there, like anywhere.
And the thing about Dave that's so interesting, he overcame that.
In order.
That thing
yes.
that just dominates everybody's identity.
Correct.
To take all manner of issues on their own merits.
Correct. That's why why do we ridicule Lindsey Graham about his sexuality? Because he's lying about it. He's a fraud. And everything about Lindsey Graham's a fraud, and he has no business representing a state like South Carolina. What we rag on this show is frauds. R-D-I-Z-Q, doesn't matter what damn letters after their name. If you're a fraud, you're good to get clipped here from noon to 2 Eastern on this program. So that's what I go after, are frauds, regardless of anything. That's why we will mock fake evangelical leaders. They're frauds. We go after frauds. Next question she asks, has the reluctance of people, not just public figures, but everyone, to criticize others allowed for the erosion of morality in society that we're seeing now? It's the other way around. The erosion of morality has led to the lack of criticism. I was just talking with Ali Stuckey about this on her show this morning. So make sure you listen when it comes out later today. Every one of our homes has been tainted by the sexual revolution. None of us have. There cannot possibly be. If the standard is to even look upon another person with lust is the same as committing adultery, if that's God's standard, then I don't know how anybody who has eyesight has not violated it, given what is predominant in our culture today, before we even get to things like hardcore pornography, right?
Mm-hmm.
So none of us have kept this standard. None of us are qualified to do it. Hey, you know what? I have a gay loved one, so I feel like I'm compromised in this area. My wife went to bed early last night. We've been fighting, and I found myself again on Pornhub. I just don't feel like I can get up the next day and comment on this. First of all, we applaud those attempts at some form of self-awareness. Those are good things. To be doing an assessment of your own life, those are good and godly things to be doing. But that your self-awareness can be an idol too. Because if the standard is, until I reach ultimate morality, I cannot ever comment on what is or isn't moral, when will you be qualified to comment on then, do you think, Todd?
Probably never.
Never will be the answer. And everyone within the sound of my voice, if the standard is I must meet ultimate reality before I recognize right and wrong and comment upon it, when will anyone right now within the sound of my voice be qualified to therefore comment on what is right and wrong?
Never.
Never. Not 8 billion people on this planet. None of us will be qualified. See, that's the enemy talking. That you're accusing yourself now. You've gone beyond self-awareness. Like I practice self-awareness. That's why at the church we used to belong to, I was on the preaching team, but I would not join like the elder board or anything of that nature. I didn't think I was morally qualified to do it. And I told them that when they asked. Self-awareness. But I also don't let it become an idol. That now Now I just hang my head. I'm never good enough. I'm always under accusation. Because then it just becomes, since I'm always under accusation, and I'm never good enough, I might just go back and indulge in this over and over. It's right. That's the cycle the devil wants you in. That's demonic. That's why when I communicated this over the weekend and on Monday, I pointed out, I didn't live up to this standard. It is, though, the standard. I'm not the standard bearer. I'm not any standard bearer. But it's still the standard. And then we have to, but here's the thing though. Why do these standards exist? This is why I pointed out what both sides of my life story. Born to a 15-year-old mom, grew up on government cheese and reduced lunches and food stamps. She then marries my stepdad, who never really accepted me as his own and was very abusive. Any form of social science data shows you that a kid born in marriage to a loving mom and a loving dad is better off by any statistical variant or model than children who aren't. My life and birth is living proof. It's only because I believe God put a calling on my life that how many kids born to 15-year-old moms that were on government cheese end up where I am right now? That doesn't happen very often. And I wish I could take credit for it. Like I had this carefully meticulated plan. No, dude. I was working. My wife and I are going to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary here in a few weeks. When she married me, I worked in the mailroom at Blue Cross Blue Shield, guys. I didn't have a plan. He just had a call. I tried to not answer said call. I have tried many times to blow said call up. Allie said to me this morning, "You always have so much wisdom." I said, "It's because I've made a crap ton of mistakes." That's why. I made a crap ton of mistakes. That's why. I wasn't born with this. Otherwise, I would have made a lot different decisions because you know what? You would have thought I would have grown up as a product of the sexual revolution and its dysfunction. And that would have driven me to some form of puritanism, right? No! I then became a byproduct of the sexual revolution. And indulged in it. Why? Because I'm a sinner. And so are every one of you. None of us is morally qualified to discuss these things. If the standard is don't have an impure thought about someone else lustfully ever, and that's his, and he gets to call that, man. He earned it. I think he earned those stripes on the cross, right? He gets to name his standard. He earned that. Yeah, he can earn that one. He gets to call it as he sees it. But if that's the standard, though, I can't. Dude, if you can live up to that, this is why he says, man, sometimes it's metaphorical language. Pluck your eye out if it's causing you to do evil. That's how hard it is to live up to God's law. The point of God's law is not to turn us into moralists, but to turn us towards a savior. And it is that new identity that our Savior gives us that then causes us to not want bad things as often or as much as we used to because we're being changed from the inside out. And the reason why they're bad things is not because God thinks they're gross or vile or icky, but because they hurt us. I don't want my kid playing in traffic because I'm allergic to pavement. Because I don't want to get hit by a car. I don't want a bad thing to happen. So we need to articulate, why are we holding these moral standards? What is the purpose of this morality? Finally, she says, I feel that much like people mutilating themselves to change their genders, two guys using multiple women to artificially have babies is a similar butchery of humanity and disgraces our God-given gifts. But are these things also a result of the sense of entitlement that pervades society? For example, someone lives a lifestyle that makes it physically impossible for them to have children, yet they feel like they deserve kids. Or some guy chooses to be a girl, but then he also feels like he deserves to be on the girls' track team. Yes, this is why I said on Monday, I went back and listened to some of that and what I said. I can't frankly believe any of you thought that I went soft in that conversation. I mean, I literally said the Dave Rubin conversation and the Leah Thomas conversation is the same conversation. Why? Because of what you're pointing out here, Katie. You nailed it. I'm missing that void. I want to experience this aspect of what it means to be human. And so therefore I'm entitled to it. We're not entitled to anything. We're not entitled to grace. The only thing we're all entitled to is hell. It's what we want. It's what we deserve. We're entitled to it. Thankfully, God comes along and offers us grace to crush our sense of entitlement instead. But you nailed it. They're the same story. That's why, did I not say on Monday, once we changed the marriage certificate, we were always going to change the birth certificate, yes, that they're the same story. What's happening, though, is our inability to call out immorality and sin is not eroding our morality. Our morality eroded, and that's why we no longer feel qualified to call these things out. Our buddy Jason Whitlock does things very similar to how I do things. He's just brutally honest about his faults. Because invariably, the enemy or his minions, the minute you take any kind of moral stand, will come and say, well, what were you doing last night? You don't have the right. You know, I don't. I don't. But it's not my standard. And then we have to ask ourselves, why did the God who invented the clitoris with 20,000 nerves, why did he say, though, limit the paths that you take advantage of this? Why did he do this? He's capricious. Hey, let me give them this orgasm, never-ending orgasm machine, and then tell them, don't indulge. So the God who spares not even his own son, that's his character? That's not his character, is it?
No.
No. So I think the cross is the ultimate proof that God will spare no expense to our good. None. Even though we are entitled to none of that. And yet he will spare no expense to our good, even though we're entitled to none of his goodness. So no, that you want a capricious God, read a Quran. That's not to the character of the God of the Bible. This is because he cares and doesn't want us to experience things like blowing our families up and scandals and diseases. It's because he cares, guys. And my concern sometimes when we articulate these standards, it's because we want to make a point and not because we care. And the truth is, none of us are morally qualified to make any points. But we are morally qualified to show that we care. Hour 2 is next. All right, we're back with Hour 2, live and on demand here on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. Steve Dace here with Todders and Aaron McIntyre, all of you. Don't forget, you can email the show, steve@stevedace.com, DEACE. Like us on Facebook, MeWe, Parler, and Gab. Follow me at Steve Dace Show on Getter and Twitter. Get clips of the show that are free to watch and then also free of all censorship when you go to rumble.com/Steve Dace Show as well. Again, that is DEACE. And for those of you that are podcast listeners, thank you so much. We appreciate you. And you're a big reason for our show's continued growth and success. If you don't mind, please leave us a 5-star review and then hit subscribe or follow. The more of you that do that, I don't know what it does. It just helps our fragile male egos. And thank you to all of you that have done that for us, each and every one of you already. You know, you got 360 places in your body from your neck down to your feet. These are called joints, and they're really handy things the Creator put in there to help us with functionality and flexibility and movement. Unfortunately, as we get older, they can also become little pesky pockets of inflammation that cause that chronic pain, that lingering soreness and achiness that just won't let go. And that's why you're looking for an all-natural anti-inflammatory, backed by a few decades of clinical research and also backed by my last couple of years of daily usage. It's called Omega XL. And if you want to try it today or try it again, you can buy one bottle, get a second one for free when you go to omegaxl.com/Steve, omegaxl.com/Steve, or call them at 800-844. You'd think I'd have this number memorized by now. 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888. And now, without further ado, at the bottom of the hour, the weekly prophet of woe and lamentation. But until then, let's have fun while we can. It is time for some buy, sell, or hold. Aaron's got from you in the audience all kinds of tasty nuggets, Todd, for you and I to decide, are we going to buy that? Are we going to sell that? Maybe even have a good reason or 12 why. Once per episode, we will be allowed a hold. But if it's for any reason whatsoever other than that is incredibly lame, then you will have to verify with Lindsey Graham that he does indeed know what a man is.
That seems like a riddle that, gosh, that one seems like the most possible one to answer yes on some levels, but I know it's the opposite, so I, no.
The links you'll have to go to.
Yeah,
I'll stop.
It's a trap.
Okay.
We are doing something a little bit different to start off today's buy, sell, or hold. If you're on social media, you might have seen this little ditty making the rounds. This is from Duke University's Office for Institutional Equity. Their glossary of terms includes this acronym, LGBTQQIP2SAA. Stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. You get it. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I got to thinking, and others have noted, that looks a whole lot of like, a shipping confirmation number, doesn't it? So we're going to play a little game here.
Okay. All right.
We're going to do rainbow acronym, order confirmation number, or hold. You ready?
Okay.
I've got 10 strings of letters and numbers, and I'm going to read them slowly twice. You have to buy if you think it's a rainbow acronym. You have to sell if you think it's a shipping confirmation number, or there's really no hold in this game. I'm keeping track of each of your scores, and I'll let you know who won at the end.
All right.
Here's the first one. You understand the game? Everybody good to go?
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
1MQI00I. 1MQI00I. Is that a Rainbow Jihad acronym or shipping confirmation
number? I'm going shipping confirmation number.
Rainbow Jihad.
LJG. YRTIPQ.
I'm going Rainbow Jihad.
Shipping.
ED9VG lowercase w uppercase g.
Rainbow Jihad.
I was going to say Rainbow Jihad as well. Yeah.
Okay. 202TWDE lowercase r.
Rainbow Jihad.
I'm going to say shipping on that one.
Okay. TN3EHXJ.
Shipping.
I was going to say shipping too. Okay.
Okay. How many more of these do you want to do? We've got about five more. Let's do two more.
Okay.
DN lowercase F.
We should do one more for six.
There you go. That's a good idea. All right. Speaking of six. So DNF lowercase U 6I2M.
That has
Rainbow
to be a
Jihad.
Shipping number. Has to be shipping.
Rainbow Jihad.
Okay. You were all varied on your answers, and you were all wrong on all of them. Those are just random letters and numbers that I just made up.
Save me, Lindsey Graham. Save me.
We took it so seriously, too, didn't we? Nice.
We'll move on. Rob Eno, our colleague here at Blaze TV, says, now that the Hunter Biden laptop is authenticated, Joe Biden will be the first president impeached, convicted, and removed from office in January of 2023. Nobody's talking about this.
This is a joke, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Sell.
I mean, Ian understands that.
This is less real than all the numbers and letters you just read us.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I had to pause, okay? Because I'm like, I know Rob's a pretty smart guy. So I'm being punked on this, right? I mean, he knows that those would be Republicans taking over, correct? So here's the thing. If they had not authenticated Hunter's laptop, I actually think the odds of Biden being impeached, maybe not removed, would have gone up. If it would have been a false flag, fake fight, that Republicans could have said, yeah, we checked the box, and then Mitch McConnell would...
Now that it's real.
But now that it's real, and it's actually an impeachable stuff... Now, they absolutely can't act. All right. So I don't even think we'll even get an impeachment out of the House now, because now we've got something real that they would be forced to act upon. Okay. So moving on.
I'm perpetually that Captain America gif where he just drops his head.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, it's okay. True. Let's see. We'll go on to Chris Goble, who says Mount Rushmore of 80s movies soundtracks. Top Gun.
Bye.
Back to the Future.
Absolutely. Footloose. It's like four number one songs on that album.
Yeah.
Footloose.
Or Footloose is the one that has like four number one songs. But yeah.
And The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Says honorable mentions Fast Time at Ridgemont High, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Dirty Dancing, and The Lost Boys.
All right. Since there's nothing in his honorable mention that I think should take the place of what he's got on that list.
Is this a whole cloth buy?
I might whole cloth buy. Wow. I'm sure that we're forgetting something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're definitely forgetting something.
I'm sure we're forgetting something because soundtrack albums were massive in the 80s. And it feels like we're forgetting something kind of obvious. Are we forgetting something obvious?
I'm certain we're forgetting something obvious, but that's the way it is with these lists. I mean, that's our life. We could forget four something obviouses, and that would replace that. And if we saw that first, I don't think we would have thought of these. I mean, Simple Minds, they're not technically a one hit wonder, but they're pretty darn close to it. But that is like, that song,
it's an all-time
Don't Forget
great
About
song.
Me, is an all-time great song from a band who's, you don't know. I know there was one other song that came after it that was okay, but didn't. But that song still comes on, and it is a point, like if I'm in my car and about to get out, just got to sit and listen to it.
Like, well done, Chris.
That's well done. Okay.
Yeah. Moving on, Jerry Davis has an interesting list. Top five groups of any style of all time based on record sales, top 10 hits, and musical and cultural influence. So he's actually providing some parameters for us, which is good. Yeah. So he's got number five, Alabama. I didn't realize
this. So we're just doing groups. These are just groups.
Just groups.
Okay. Yeah.
40 number one hits for Alabama.
That's a smart take to put them on such a list. I like it. So, and I'm a big Alabama guy, so I'll buy.
Led Zeppelin sold between 200 and 300 million records.
You guys know I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan, so I will. And they were the best-selling act of the 70s, so I'll buy.
Number three, Pink Floyd sold over 250 million records.
I mean, I'm fine with them being on the list. There's no way they should be ahead of Led Zeppelin. I mean, when you look at total record sales, they're an all-timer. They should be higher on the list than Pink Floyd. But I'm okay with Pink Floyd being on the list, I guess. So, okay.
Yeah. They're kind of a force of nature, yeah.
Number two, Glenn Miller Orchestra had more top 10 hits than at 69 than the Beatles or Elvis.
I'm just buying this. This is...
That's kind of an inspired choice,
too. This guy has a metric.
Yeah.
It's data-driven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with it.
And number one, easily, the Beatles.
Yeah.
Not
I mean, what they did from 1964 to 1971, I mean, that's just a seven-year period. Nothing will ever touch that. Yeah.
Next up, we go to Give Me Liberty or Give Me Comfort, who says, my super liberal college friend texting my conservative friends and saying, what do you think of Dan Crenshaw? Seems like a real reasonable guy. Tells me all I need to know about that.
Ooh. Here's the thing. I would have normally been all for this, and I still think it is room to at least have some spider sense tingling, okay? But here's why I'm going to sell. And let me say this too with another disclaimer, that we should probably be the most suspicious we have ever been as a base of people. Fair?
Yes.
Like just as a base,
just as a
default setting, suspicion should be on the highest alert of all time. But here's why I'm going to sell. I'm going to try to take a little bit of a nuanced position on this. I think there are a lot of people that didn't personally like Donald Trump, think Republicans only care about corporate America, that didn't sign up for an Aerosmith video at the NCAA Women's Swimming Championships. Little dude looks like a lady action.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people, I think, that don't like Trump and his act. I think Republicans only care about corporate America, that didn't sign up for our baby's racist, as Cruz brought up yesterday to Judge Jackson from that Ibram Kendi guy, our white baby's born racist, okay? I think we should give some room here that the level of crazy has offended a whole new level of Americans. And remember, Texas Republicans just voted 70% for Greg Abbott, who doesn't defend their border, does nothing really to defend their life, and masks them outside. There's low information voters all over the place, including here on the right. We cannot expect someone who in the past has never taken us and our ecosystem seriously to now all of a sudden be open to it and have a far more layered and informed understanding of, you know what I'm saying? Because the media is going to tell them that Dan Crenshaw is an acceptable moderate, when the reality is Crenshaw, if he is who we think he is, represents more of the pro-corporate, sell you out on the cultural issues, forever war Republican that you can't stand already, right? But unless you've really done your work on that, I mean, it would be almost impossible without about $20 million to beat Dan Crenshaw in a Republican primary. So if we're that low information on our own end about the people that we about our own side, how low information would somebody who's just now realizing how crazy things are and they're opening themselves up to the possibility that maybe, you know, this party's left them behind. You know what I'm trying to say here? Okay. Going right to, you know what? Rachel Maddow yesterday. I've had enough. I'll even go more extreme. Dude, I was retweeting Keith Olbermann affirmatively in his latest I'm literally insane rant. And then I watched Leah Thomas go swimming among women, and I've just got to tune into Steve Bannon's war room. Very few people that are stable would make that kind of a leap in a short amount of time. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times this stuff gets gradual, right? And so I think we need to leave some room for that, because I do think there is a level of crazy here that's offended a whole new level of and layer of people. That they might be looking for, okay, I mean, this guy's a veteran, he's got a cool eye patch, doesn't seem to hate me, likable, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to sell while I support the spirit of the suspicion that you are conveying.
I'm going to buy because in increasingly red state Iowa, I watched every single Democrat in both houses of the Iowa legislature vote against the Save Girl Sports Bill. Every single one. It's a cult.
Next, we will go to Mike D'Amico.
Hold on. I hate to do this on live.
Sure.
The big screen over here went out. I can't. My eyesight's too bad. I can't read the little one. So just so you guys. So if I ask you to repeat an answer, that's why.
Okay.
All right.
Mike D'Amico says Donald Trump has more in common with JFK as a president than Reagan.
I don't know. That seems, I don't think he has anything in common with either one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to sell on that, because I might actually think Reagan had more in common with Kennedy and vice versa than they do with Trump. And I mean, Lord knows if we're talking about Kennedy, it certainly isn't on the character side. Okay. That's not what I mean. I just mean, we were generationally still in a place where there were agreed upon absolutes about what it meant to be an American and morality on some level. And Trump rose to prominence in an era where those things are completely gone now. Okay. And so I actually think there's more comparisons, both Cold Warriors, World War II. I think there's more in common between Reagan and Kennedy than there is between Trump and either of the two, because of those generational circumstances.
Right. I think if Trump has more in common with Barack Obama than those two guys.
For generational reasons.
Yeah.
And you can make an argument that Trump's kind of the, or Obama is, depending on your perspective, the bizarro world version of the other in some respects. I mean,
Yeah.
I get you.
Let's see. Tyler Helfert says, as he's the guy who's always trying to cause division amongst the brethren here. Martin Luther would be a better pope than Francis.
Oh gosh, that's true. I mean, that's an easy buy. That's an absolutely easy buy.
Well, it just depends
from what perspective. If you're asking from a Catholic perspective, a guy who led the Reformation, being a better pope, I don't know. From a Catholic perspective, that's the guy that tore the church apart. Am I wrong about that, Todd? Martin Luther?
Well, yeah, you can start there, but I will sell, not because the Pope isn't fraught with issues, but you know, Martin Luther, I mean, any Catholic worth of salt is, you know, Martin Luther, he himself in his own time admitted he did not fully grasp what he had unleashed. Like he's like, oh, hold on, that's not what I meant. And they're like, sorry, cat's out of the bag now. And so no, I've got to sell on that.
Oh, I'm a buy all day and at least twice on Sunday. I think any Protestant with a rudimentary knowledge of the Bible is more Catholic than Pope Francis is. I think Pope Francis is a woke construct who speaks to certain elements of traditionalism as a means of politically manipulating and maintaining a veneer and a coalition.
I agree with you, but you just changed the question. It's about who would make the better pope. That's a whole different ball of wax. Yeah, you can't say a guy by the way, that doesn't matter at all.
Well, okay, I'm coming at it from my bias, where I'm looking at this strictly through the lens of an orthodoxy. One guy was for it, the other guy's not. When? All right, you're looking at it a little more holistically from a liturgical, ceremonial, traditional.
Well, I'm Catholic.
Because you're Catholic, yeah, and I'm not. So that would make sense why we had those answers. Before we get to part two of buy, sell, or hold, you know, the war going on right now in Europe between Russia and Ukraine. Just the kind of chaos identity thieves love. And one of the easiest targets happens to be American homeowners. Because a lot of those things nowadays, credit card companies do a phenomenal job, actually, both charging you interest, but also making sure that your charges on your card belong to you and then acting if they're not. A lot of us have identity theft protection, but one thing that doesn't get protected often are home titles. That's the only thing that proves that the home actually belongs to us. A lot of them are kept online, which makes them vulnerable to identity thieves to go on there, make it look like you've sold your home to them so that they can now begin tapping into your home's worth and equity. Make sure that doesn't happen to you. And that's what our friends at Home Title Lock do. They try to prevent that from happening to you by putting a virtual barrier around your home's title to make sure that they keep track of any attempts to tamper with it whatsoever. If you want to protect your home's most valuable asset, go right now to HomeTitleLock.com to get more information and find out. Maybe you've already been a victim and you didn't even know. At HomeTitleLock.com.
Moving on to what bandit says the best thing that could happen to society would be a huge cyber attack on every social media site, crashing them into the pits of hell. We'll all go back to socializing the way God intended.
Bye. Let's try it.
Yeah, I'm good. Terms are acceptable.
I mean, the best thing that would happen, I hate to do this, okay?
Is this a Jesus joke?
It is, but I think it needs to be done. I'm not trying to do this to be trite, but I think the best thing that could happen to society is look up for your salvation is nigh. Can we at least, let's start there.
Well, okay. Implied.
All right. I know, but here's the thing. There's like 9 people that if we don't yes. explicitly say so, we'll all email
blasphemer!
Me. Yes. All right. So it's not, it's not literally the best thing that could happen to society. Okay.
It would help. It might be the thing that would cause us to look up.
Well, okay. All right. So you know what? Even if we're at the point that me, the ugly American, all right, if we're at the point that I'm like at least entertaining this, then I think you have to buy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next, we'll go to Flipper, who says the Psaki positive COVID test coupled with the reemergence of Fauci in the news is the beginning of the pivot to ensure mail-in voting in the midterms.
Oh, it's too early for that. Sell. They cannot go back to this narrative right now. It's beyond unpopular, like beyond unpopular.
Like nuclear war was considered more popular.
Yeah, I mean, guys, the back-to-back clips of Lisa Wen from the last 6 months that you just played in your montage earlier. Mia Wen, I'm sorry. What's her name?
Leanna
Wen, I'm sorry.
High Priestess.
Yeah, I mean, if she feels like she's got to gaslight her own material, that tells you. Did I not see that some major poobah at the DNC came out yesterday and said, I'm just tired of the masks, I've got to go? Okay, no. They can't. It's too soon. Doesn't mean that they won't do this. You know, I could foresee a scenario we get to September, October, numbers don't get any better for them. And I could see some blue counties, you know, places like Washtenaw County, Michigan, Philadelphia County, Pennsylvania, Fulton County, Cobb County, Georgia, you know, places where we saw them board up windows and count votes for days within either swing or red states. I could see that in, you know, 4 or 5 months from now. But right now, right as the weather's getting warm and spring is here and people want to get back, no way. No way. No, they're not going to. They didn't just do everything just to turn right around and go back there again. Doesn't mean they won't later, but not right now. No.
Yeah, I agree. Sal, this is like the Costanza jingle that he keeps just whispering subliminally into the women's heads, and so finally they come around.
Great analogy.
That's a Costanza. They just need to make you know that they're not going away.
I really do think also the timing of Fauci showing up out of nowhere after being gone for weeks has also at least as much to do with the fact that there was a lot of speculation that the reason he was hinting at retirement is out of fear of Republicans coming along. And so I think that at least had something to do with his ego stepping in and saying, oh, I'm not afraid. I think that at least had something to do with it.
He's afraid.
He should be.
Yeah. Samuel Adams says, if the founders could see the country today, virtually all of them would be anti-federalists.
Oh, bye.
Oh, complete bye. Yeah. If anything, they might have, they might even have just said, where are the evangelists? We don't have time. Federalist, anti-federalist, where are the evangelists? I think they might have just done that.
Thomas Jefferson. I'd like to apologize about that whole Jefferson Bible thing.
Yeah.
I tried to pull my punches. I know we need all the God, all the smiting, all the miracles.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Thomas Paine is still wrong. Yes. Yeah.
Rick Layer says Russia deploys a nuke by the end of April.
Say that one again.
Russia deploys a nuke by the end of April.
So
I have a little birdie who has told me this is the real reason we won't do a no-fly zone. That we really don't think they will shoot our planes down. That Putin doesn't want that direct level of provocation. But that the real reason we won't do a no-fly zone is because we're afraid that he would then turn right around and just come off the top rope with a tactical nuke and say, okay, I guess I got to end this thing tomorrow then, you know? ooh, pardon me. Sorry about that. I'm going to sell because I think that is directly linked to the deployment of a no-fly zone, and I don't believe there will be one. So that's why I'm going to sell.
Next up, we'll go to Brandon, who says the USFL will last one season and be done.
I'm going to sell because they're doing a different model than what's been done with these spring football leagues that weren't spring football leagues.
The XFL were like Valentine's Day. Successful in the ratings.
Yeah,
before COVID came along.
Correct. I think that first of all, this is an established brand. Number one, it's a brand that has been successful before. What happened is they tried to forge their way, like the CBA did, into a merger, and the AFL did into a merger. Okay, so the CBA did that with, or the ABA, I should say, did that with the NBA, and then the AFL did that with the NFL. They tried, largely at Trump's leading, they thought they had the leverage now that they had established enough of a market that they could, and the NFL was weakened coming off the 82 strike year, that they thought they could forge their way into a merger. And when that refused, they went to court. They won their case. Everybody keeps forgetting that. You remember that? The USFL won the case, the antitrust case against the NFL. They won the case. Here was the problem. The total amount of damages they were given was $1. They won the case, but they were given $1 in damages. And so they, if they couldn't get a merger and they didn't have that capital to liquefy or to, you know, them from a, you know, from a money standpoint, then they were done. So I think that they will last longer than that. I think the time period they're going to play, April, May, June, when people start getting hungry again for football, interest in baseball, frankly, happens twice a year, right around opening day, and then not again really until we get hardcore into the pennant races. There's a lot of programming and stuff that can fill those voids and not a lot of other things going on. I disagree wholeheartedly. I'm going to sell.
I'm going to sell, and for this reason. If it had nothing to do with this reason, I'd buy, but I think it's probably because of gambling.
Oh, I didn't even think about it. That's a great point. Yeah.
And again, you know, Steve and Aaron doing this, these are men in full who I know well, and they are not consumed by this. But this is increasingly, if you just listen to sports radio, there is so little there.
Needs something other than baseball
in
to scratch
the average
that itch.
And baseball
is very
consumer,
difficult to gamble on, yeah, guys. It's the hardest sport to bet.
All these sports bros, they have no other part of their life. It's just obvious. It's why our country's in such dire shape. So this is going to scratch them where they itch, and it's pathetic, but that's why it's going to last.
You know, I could have just actually just given that answer, because that's probably the most true. Your answer is more true than mine. Yep.
Three more in rapid succession. Tyler Morgan says Bob Saget didn't die from hitting his head on the padded headboard or carpeted floor of his hotel room. This is all a cover-up of some sort.
Total buy.
Buy.
Next, we will go to Sean Griffiths. America's peak was sometime shortly before 9/11/2001. It's all been downhill ever since.
Buy.
And then very quickly, we have a Mount Rushmore of important and influential superhero films in order. Iron Man, The Dark Knight, Spider-Man, Superman.
Spider-Man,
the one with Willem Dafoe, The Dark Knight.
Spider-Man's got to go, and you're missing the most obvious one, and that's Richard Donner, Superman, the movie. There may never have even been a superhero genre.
Isn't that number one?
Oh, is that number one? I missed it. Okay, guys, I can't see on the screen. Okay, my bad. So there it is, number one. All right, so I agree with The Dark Knight. You know what? I think I'd put the Tim Burton Batman film there ahead of Spider-Man 2, because that sort of reinvigorated the superhero genre as truly marketable to mainstream audiences. So I'd take Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire out of there, and I'd put the Tim Burton 1989 Batman in there instead. But I like the rest of the list.
I put Iron Man number two. It was that important.
It touched off the whole MCU. I think I agree with you. I'd put Iron Man number two there too. All right, good stuff. Hope we had fun, because Woe and Lamentation is forthcoming. Let me just say, first and foremost, I am ashamed. I think I have had my Child of the 80s card revoked. On a Mount Rushmore question of best soundtracks of the 80s, how did we forget Purple Rain, arguably the best of all of them? That's like, oh yeah, Mount Rushmore of presidents. And then you're like, oh man, we forgot, you know, Abraham Lincoln. Okay. I'm ashamed. I know you are.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I said we were missing something obvious.
You should be. I'll speak for all of us here. To those of you that are texting and emailing me to remind us about Purple Rain, we are ashamed. You're right. And I can't think of any way out of this hole that I've dug for myself with such a pop culture snafu, but then to tell you and remind you about our friends over at Rough Greens.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were saying, I will now sing When Doves Cry live on the air.
Or Darling Nikki. No. Anyway, if you're a dog owner, you know that taking care of your pet means more than just giving it food and water. You love that little rascal. It's an important part of your family. Its health and its happiness, therefore, is important to you. That's why we've been telling you for a while now about Rough Greens. It's the supplement powder that you put into your pet's food for the same reasons that we're taking so many supplements these days, because they take a lot of the vitamins and minerals and nutrients and things we need out of our food for mass distribution. They do the same thing now with our pet's food too, when it leaves the factory. And your pet still needs all that good stuff just like we do. That's why we buy so many supplements, and now there's one for your pet. You take this powder, mix it in with your pet's food, and you've restored it back to its full health and vigor. But you might be wondering, hey, what happens if my pet doesn't like it? How will I know? Why take a risk? Don't. Just give you the first 14-day jumpstart bag for free. Now, you pay for the shipping, because if you don't have any skin in the game, people have a tendency to just take things that are absolutely free and, you know, put it on the shelf next to the elf, all right? But we want you to try this for your pet. We really think your pet will like it, and it'll be good for your pet too. So go to roughgreens.com to take advantage of this deal. They spell it R-U-F-F for roughgreens.com. Or you can give them a call at 833-ROUGH-DOG. That is 833-ROUGH-DOG.
No, Daniel.
We are efforting the prophet of woe and lamentation. Now, frankly, I'm a little concerned. Not like him to miss out on the opportunity to spread his unique form of joyful misery, right? So we will effort with Daniel. Until then, in the meantime, we'll continue on with Buy, Sell, or Hold.
Tiny Johnny says the LGBTQIA will add the P in less than 2 years.
I don't even know what half these letters stand for.
P would be for pedophile.
Oh. In how many years?
Less than two. Oh, this is the easiest buy ever.
Oh, yeah, absolute buy. I thought you said five.
No.
That's why I was going to sell, so I'll buy.
Well, I'll buy, but I don't think it'll be some other letter that means...
Euphemism.
That, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Elliot Evans says, Trump's rollout of Truth Social is less competent than his handling of COVID. Ouch.
Well, that's hard to do, so...
I got to sell on the merits.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing is dramatically more important than the other. I am concerned, though, that if there's this much issue with signups, how much issue is there going to be with daily traffic, okay?
I think this was supposed to be, if I'm reading this right, this was supposed to be an anticipation building time, but that was not communicated. Instead, people are frustrated. I don't think this is not going according to plan for Truth Social. I think they anticipated this to be kind of a build-up in anticipation time. All of these users who can get on there get to talk about what it's like over there.
Right.
Instead, people are like, I can't even sign up. It's already broken, and they're frustrated. That's my read of it, anyway.
Okay.
Sean Robinson says, the Blaze and the Daily Wire need to advertise on Fox.
I don't know that they would take... I can't speak again for Daily Wire. I don't know they take our ads. Yeah. I mean, I think I mentioned this... last year, I can't remember if I mentioned it on the show or not, but I'll tell you now. Last summer, our publisher was willing to spend a not insignificant amount of money advertising Fauci and Bargan on Tucker Carlson's show. And we even produced the ad. Do we have a copy of that anywhere? Do you?
Yeah, it's somewhere on the computer.
Okay, not easily accessible to play for people. Fine, because it's pretty benign. It's a 30-second ad with a cover of the book and a description of what the book is. And technically, they still have not rejected the ad. They agreed to take the ad.
They just ghosted.
Yeah,
they agreed to take the ad pending seeing the ad.
It's really professional.
And we agreed on the rate and everything. We even had the ad scheduled down. Do you remember this?
Of course.
Yeah. And then once they got the ad, they just ghosted us. And after a few weeks of going back and forth, their ad buyer was like, we've never seen anything like this before. We've never seen this sort of a long approval process. And so after a few weeks, we just kind of gave up. But they never actually gave us an official, we can't run that ad or we will run that ad, after agreeing to the rates and the ad schedule. Okay, so there you go.
Had this been as obvious as you say it is, Fauci and Bargan sales would have, I don't know what, doubled, triple doesn't even see enough. That was a perfect example of what they would need to then be accountable on some level to what we are talking about over there. They've got their whole narrative over there.
And it was nothing about the jabs. In fact, that controversy hadn't really begun until we got into the fall and we started seeing some of the Delta efficacy numbers collapse. And then it was right when the Delta efficacy numbers collapsed that we started actually getting the mandates. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like, hey, now that we're showing you this thing doesn't work, now we're going to mandate it on you, right? That's when that true battle began. And that's when we came out with Fauci and booster. This was well before that. And it was all based on the content that was in the book, which was, again, there wasn't even very much on the origin of the virus in the book because we didn't know a lot of this stuff at that time. We allude to it, but much of it was just discrediting that lockdowns and masks don't, you know, actually work when they don't. Okay. And so I think it was like in June, if I remember right, because we were timing this out like over a Father's Day week. Yes, that's what it was. It was over a Father's Day weekend. We were going to do Father's Day, the week leading up to Father's Day. We had set up a whole separate URL. So if you wanted to buy the book for your dad for Father's Day, you could just buy it directly from us to make sure it got delivered to you and everything on time. I mean, we set up, we spent, I mean, yeah. this was, there was a whole thing set up around this. And they agreed to the rate. They agreed to the schedule. We sent them the ad, which Aaron and I produced ourselves. And then they just ghosted us from there.
The other problem, listen, let's face it. If Fox advertised both the Daily Wire and us on a regular basis, everybody would realize that we have better talent than they do.
Yeah, why am I watching Sean Hannity when I could watch Michael Knowles, who's 75 times smarter?
Yeah.
Why would I do that? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they have guys like us. Well, my theory is that Tucker snuck in. They didn't anticipate that.
No, they did not.
They thought they were hiring the Tucker that was, you know, the bow-tied libertarian from the MSNBC and CNN in the 90s and early 2000s.
He totally Trojan horse.
No doubt.
He'd been working there for how long?
No doubt.
Just popping up on different shows.
No doubt he did, and now they're screwed because they can't get rid of him. Okay, because if they got rid of him.
He is Fox.
Fox. Yeah. If they got rid of him, any of us would literally break the bank. Like if they got rid of him and he was a free agent, and our CEO Tyler came to me and said, we're going to have to let you and several people go to bring Tucker in. I wouldn't even argue, bro. I'd be like, I totally get it. All right. I mean, that's, he has them by the short hairs, and then there's the leverage that Tucker Carlson has. Yeah. Okay. But there's a reason why when they bring in a Levin, and especially to an even more nth degree, a Bongino, there's a reason those guys are on the weekends, guys. Okay. There's a reason they're on the weekends. Could you imagine Dan Bongino, after Hannity's vapid, barely scrape, the top of the algae line, Team GOP content, and now Dan Bongino on, people would be like, why isn't he on an hour earlier, right? Okay, so that goes to your point too. Yeah.
Anarcho Motorist has this: Ketanji Brown Jackson would not have been the pick, no matter her background, if her name was Kathy Jackson.
Sell.
Is he saying because this is perceived to be a quote-unquote more black name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And white people don't typically name their people Ketanji. Okay.
This is a total buy for me. Total buy.
Oh, you do buy into that.
I do. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. If they can get somebody who sounds more black to their mind.
This sounds more intersectional.
Totally on brand for progressivism.
This sounds more intersectional. You know what? On that level of shallowness.
If your name ain't Ketanji, you ain't black. Does that sound familiar?
You know what, dude?
Just because Aaron just was like, no, this will not stand.
Yes. I got to give it up. You just steved me. I get it. I get it. And I acquiesce.
It's like the most on brand Joe Biden thing ever. Ryan says, the most obnoxious thing about March is every personality or entity online that makes a bracket of whatever comes to mind. So you got all sorts of different brackets. I like brackets.
No, the most annoying thing is doing multiple brackets and then with multiple conceivable scenarios, then if you win in one, claiming you're some kind of sage. That's the most annoying
thing. The most annoying thing about March is what Steve gets annoyed by way too early in January. This is supposed to be getting close to spring now, and like tonight there's going to be like flurries and it's going to be like 30 degrees. That's the most annoying thing.
Yeah, preach, brother. I turned the heat back on. I was holding out, man.
It's getting real.
I was holding out, and I'm finally, wife's looking at me through the fog of her own breath, and she's like, all right, man, fine, Mr. Cratchit, we'll throw another log on the fire. It wasn't that I wanted the house to be cold. I just didn't want to give in. I knew what it meant. All right. But yeah, I had to give in and turn the heat back on this morning or last night.
Another one from Jerry Davis. Iran, or Iran if you're fancy, already has nuclear weapons and is just waiting for the right time to use them. Time is on their side.
I'm going to sell. Subtlety has not ever been the Iranian regime's jam. They have been severely hurt economically, and even more so geopolitically embarrassed to see virtually in the Trump years, the entire Arab world align, most of the Arab world, I should say, align with the U.S. and against them. If they had that kind of leverage, if they had the ability, guys, this is a country that teaches their 11-year-old boys, wait a year before you start puberty, and then we'll teach you how to walk the minefield. And if you die, Allah will welcome you with your 40 virgins. I don't buy that. I think if they had the ability to scare the hell out of people with something, they would have done it already. They're terrorists. Terror is a synonym for scare. If they could scare us, they would.
I find that a compelling answer, but I'm just thinking, I'm buying only because if you told me tomorrow, oh, by the way, Iran has nukes, all of us would be like, yeah, that's on brand.
And I agree with that too.
Throw another shrimp on the bar.
But that wasn't the question. Yeah. The question was they've been hiding it the whole time. Yeah, yeah. If the question was, if tomorrow you found out that Iran was hiding nukes the whole time, would you, then I would say, you know what, right now, fine. But you asked me something in a purely analytical, and I just can't break out of my analytical box. I'm sorry.
Got it.
Okay.
Andy says the Swamp and World Economic Forum already have a handful of crises queued up and ready to go after COVID in Ukraine.
Bye.
I'll buy that. Yeah. Yeah, I can totally buy that.
That's the last one I had here. There was another one. There was another one about Lindsey Graham that I was going to read here, but I lost it. So you guys can talk for a little bit.
Probably means it wasn't appropriate then.
COVID boosters being in the form of suppositories.
Like I said.
Oh, here it is. Yoda Sensei. You ready for this?
No.
Okay. Lindsey Graham advocates for 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds of boosters after Pfizer announces availability of suppository form of its very own preparation H.
Well, I mean, I know Lindsey Graham has been anxious to get over and be a part of an official delegation to China where they are doing anal swabs for tests. So there you have it. Todd, your thoughts?
Where's Daniel?
Thank you. Someone had to bring the woe and lamentation. So yes. Let's finish this thing with a Lindsey Graham reference. You know, trying to sell your home in any economic environment can be challenging, but especially in these unprecedented times.
Bing.
Thank you. You need to make sure that you go in with a real estate agent that you can trust. Number one, trust to realize they work for you and not you for them. Okay. But then two, can also add success as a track record as part of that customer service record as well. Where would you find such an agent? It seems almost impossible unless you go to this website. Can't make it any easier. Then go to realestateagentsitrust.com. That's a company started by Glenn Beck and some of his associates because, well, they ran into real estate agents they couldn't trust. They wanted to stop doing that. They didn't want us to have to do that. So just about anywhere you want to move to or from here in the good old US of A, we can help you find one at realestateagentsitrust.com. All right, I mentioned at the top of the show that, and we're going to tape the overtime here in just a few minutes after we get done today. Speaking of the Daily Wire, Megan Basham from Daily Wire is going to join us for this conversation. But I put up a poll question right before we went on the air. And I asked the audience, our Twitter following, who do you trust more, Sean Hannity or Joe Rogan? Guys, final results just came in. In 2 hours, we had almost 3,000 people vote in this in just about 2 hours. Don't comment on these results because that's what the overtime is for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I won't give the specific number. In fact, let's do it this way. If I had put this poll up in 2018 or 19, who would have won, do you think?
I would have said who is Joe Rogan, probably.
That would have been my answer. I didn't know Rogan had a podcast until COVID. I seriously didn't even know. 2018, we asked the audience, who do you trust more, Sean Hannity or Joe Rogan?
It's Hannity.
By a lot, do you think?
Well, yeah, at that time, maybe it was 2019, but at that time, I mean, we talked about Bob Lazar, his appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast,
that's
the Area
right.
51 guy.
That's right, we did
so
do
that's
that.
Kind of our frame
okay.
of reference.
So that's kind of when my knowledge then of the Rogan having a podcast, actually. Yeah. I forgot about the Bob
but
Lazar it,
but
thing.
But I mean, I'm sure he was advertising mushrooms and stuff back then,
well,
too.
That's so. The height of, remember, he was already waning. Hannity, as you've explained on the show, but Trump actually lifted him back up. And
yeah,
that's
there's
in
a
the
reason why Hannity was waning. He'd been moved down the dial. He glommed onto Trump because he recognized a thing when he saw one, right?
So people definitely would have trusted him more than.
Well, let's just say that those numbers aren't necessarily true any longer, as we will discuss here in the overtime that we're about to record for Blaze TV subscribers. For the rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow, noon to 2 Eastern, right after Glenn Beck. Until then, John 3:17.
The This is Steve Dace
on the Blaze Radio Network.